And it's wonderful to be able to meet with God's people, and it's such an honor and a privilege to proclaim God's word and the truth of his word. It's just incredible. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll read verses 49 to 56. The name of the message is, what is your comfort? What is your comfort? People are comforted by all different things, but what is your comfort? What is your comfort? What's your comfort for eternity? What's your comfort in this world? What is your comfort? Psalm 119, verses 49 to 56. Remember thy the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Whore hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. What is your comfort? The comfort of God in time of trial for God's people is the theme of this section. And we are often in times of trial and affliction. I love what Brother Scott Richardson said. The believer is either going into trouble, in trouble, or coming out of trouble. It's so true. It's so true. Those words are so true. So what is the believer's comfort during those times? Oh, the psalmist here says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened. God's word for the blood-bought, redeemed saint of God during times of trial and suffering becomes more and more precious to the believer. How many times have we been going through a situation or a trial, and we open up God's word and we start to read, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, floods our hearts and our souls and our minds. We find great comfort in knowing that our God is absolutely sovereign and that he's in control of the situation that we're going through and in control of all the situations that are occurring in the world at that time. And it brings great comfort to the believer. So the word of God is precious to the believer. And what strength from a text of Scripture, when applied by the Holy Spirit in time of need, will breathe into the believer. What strength we will receive from a Scripture when the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. What strength it gives us. What hope. It's like we're revived again. It's like we're revived again. And think of this. There's more said in one text of the Holy Bible than in all the volumes of human composition. There's more said in one verse. For the believer, we get such peace and joy from the Word of God. One line of the Holy Scriptures can bring such joy, such comfort, such peace to the believer when in time of need, when the Holy Spirit illuminates that Scripture and brings the comfort of Christ to the believer's heart. And I can testify that it's happened time and time and time again to me. And I know if you're a believer, it's happened to you too. And it's marvelous. It's wondrous. In the Word of God, we see the wisdom of the eternal. We see the wisdom of the eternal Jehovah, the words of Jehovah. And by the word of God, we learn of Christ. When the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture after we're born again, and then He illuminates the Scripture, and we learn of one who He didn't know before. We learn of our great majestic God, who's sovereign and rules and reigns. And then we learn that our God became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem His people from their sins. And the Word becomes a light unto our path. It's like a mine that's full of gems. Full of gems and jewels for the believer. And we're comforted by the preaching of the Word and by the teaching of the Word. And it's wonderful to us. It tells us of He who is the Word incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. God incarnate in the flesh. It tells us that He is the only Savior of sinners. And the believer says, I'm a sinner. And He's my Savior. And what great comfort the Word of God brings us when it tells us that there's only one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. And the believer says, He's my hope. And He's my comfort. And He's my rest. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do you love the word of God? Oh, God's people say, yea, I love the word of God. I love it. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. God's righteous judgments endure forever. Our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, proclaim these wondrous words about the gospel. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. These wondrous words about the gospel of the good news of His substitutionary life and death, which we have in the Word of God. In the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our life. He gave Himself by His death to redeem His people from their sins. Look in John 17, verses 14 to 20, 21. In our Lord's great high priestly prayer, look what our Master proclaims in verse 14. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. God's people, this world's not our home. We're just passing through, aren't we? We're strangers and pilgrims. We seek a better country, beloved. And the gospel is good news from a far country. It's good news from a far country. Good news for sinners from a far country. Because they are not of the world. And even as I'm not of the world, He came down from heaven to redeem His people from their sins. And now He's ascended back to heaven, back to glory. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for His people. I pray not for that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from all evil. And does not the Lord keep His people? Yea, He does, doesn't He? Time and time and time again. Left to ourselves, we'd be gone. But He keeps us, beloved. He keeps us. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. His word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, and he's talking about his disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's me, beloved. And if you're a believer, that's you. He's talking about us. It's wonderful. He's talking about all his sheep through all the ages. That they all may be one. And we're one in Christ, aren't we? He's the head, we're the body. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Oh, this word is wondrous. And it speaks of our Master. It speaks of Christ. Let's go back to our text. An outline which could be used for this portion of this psalm is hope and affliction comes from God's Word as it points us to Christ, verse 49. And reading and meditating upon God's Word during affliction produces comfort because Christ has told us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we see that in verse 50. And even in times of trouble caused by the wicked, verses 51 to 53, God will crush His enemies, and He'll crush our enemies. He does, time and time and time again. And then the Word of God comforts the believer during their pilgrimage through this world. The Word of God also, in the believer's night sessions, which are times of trouble or affliction, the Word of God comforts us with the promises of God in and through Christ. And we see that in verses 54 to 56. So let's look at our text here in Psalm 119, starting in verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, which thou hast caused me to hope. Now we as humans forget things quite often. We do. Why do we need to hear the gospel over and over and over again? Because we forget. We do. But God is not unrighteous like we are. God will never forget His promises to His people, to His servants. He never will forget. Hebrews 6:10 says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." So we often forget, but God doesn't. So the psalmist brings before us our great God, the precious promises which are found in His Word. The psalmist has received the promises of God. He's embraced the promises of God with all his heart. And now he entreats the Lord to deal with him according to His Word. Notice, remember thy word unto thy servant. The psalmist does not feel or fear a failure in the Lord. No, not at all. And the Lord's remembering His promises to him, but he makes use of the promise as a plea. As a plea. And when we think upon our sin, and when we're convicted of our sin, do we not cry out to the Lord? We do, don't we? Lord, remember thy word of pardon to me in Christ. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Remember your promises to me, that you'll remember my sins and iniquities no more. And we repent and cry out to Him, don't we? We still confess our sin to God. We're forgiven, but we still cry out to Him in repentance, don't we? Oh, Lord. Now the thief on the cross cried out to the Lord, saying, "Remember me." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the psalmist is saying here, "Remember the word unto thy servant. Remember me." The thief said, "Remember me." And the Lord said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Job also prayed, turn if you would, to Job chapter 14. Job prayed the Lord would appoint him a set time and remember him. Job chapter 14, verse 13. "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou would appoint me a set time and remember me. Oh, that thou would hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past." Beloved, we are hid in Christ. We are hid in Christ. And His wrath is past. It's been appeased in Christ. It's been appeased in Him. "That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." And He sees us in Christ. So in our text, the psalmist cries out to God to remember His servant. And this refers to a faithful follower of God. One who has fled to Christ. One who's fled to Christ. In Christ alone. One who to whom Christ is the refuge of their soul. The one who seeks and hopes in God. Is Christ this for you? The believer rests all in Christ. and knows and hopes in Him, in the God of the Bible, and knows the hopes in the promises of God's Word. And the psalmist writes, remember the Word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Remember this, beloved, the Lord has not forgotten a single promise to a single believer. It's wonderful. Note the text proclaims, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is the cry of every blood-bought saint of God. Thou hast caused me to hope. I used to hope in myself, did you? I used to hope in my works, did you? Or do you still? God has caused me to hope on Christ. Is it so with you? I hope and pray that if it's not so, that He would make it so. And the psalmist here says, Thou hast caused me to hope. Do you see who he's given the praise to? He's given the praise to God. And again, this is the cry of every blood-bought saint of God. We can look back to a time in our lives when we had no hope. Or we had a false hope. We looked to ourselves. But here our text proclaims, Thou hast caused me to hope. Thou hast caused me to hope. So let us remember first that the promises made to us from God's free mercy and grace is given to us and comes from Him alone. Because faith is a gift of God, isn't it? It's a gift of God. Thou hast caused me to hope. Thou hast caused me to hope. So we can draw forth from this verse that our salvation is from Him. It's from Him. And from Him alone. He is the hope of our salvation. Christ alone is, as one commentator said, the certainty of our salvation. The certainty of our salvation. Drawn from Himself and not from us. The certainty of our salvation is drawn from Christ and not from us. It's all because of what He's done. It's all because of His work. And I ask everyone in this room, what is your hope in this life? And what is your hope for eternity? What is your hope in this life? And what is your hope for eternity? The believer proclaims their hope with the hymn writer. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So the believer clings to the promises of God that He has given to us by His grace through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the believer has hope in the promises of God. And God will surely never disappoint His people, never disappoint that hope which He has given to us. Which He's given to us. Thus the psalmist cries out, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And what a hope the believer has in Christ for this life and for eternity. Which brings us to our next and main verse here. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Again, we see in our text in verse 50 that hope in affliction comes from God's word. Comes from God's word. When we read it and when we meditate upon it, I read a Spurgeon sermon this week about meditating on the word of God, and I loved it. He brought out how in our reading, if there's a verse that just strikes our heart, take that verse and just run it in your mind through the day and meditate upon it. Meditating is just, it's just thinking about the verse, just running it in your head. And he said, and oh, what sweetness will come out of that verse as you think upon it through the day. And the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart. It's so comforting. It's absolutely wonderful. So as we read and meditate upon God's Word during times of affliction, it produces what? Comfort. Comfort for the believer. Comfort. Hope. Hope through affliction. Why? Because it points us to the one who is the object of our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ. It points us to Him, doesn't it? It points us away from ourselves. It points us away from our affliction. Right? And points us to the only one who can bring us comfort. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He's our hope. And this is my comfort in my affliction, for Thy word hath quickened me. Quickened there in the Hebrew means to live. To live. To have life. To sustain life. To be quickened. Be alive. Be restored. Be quick. To quicken, revive, refresh, to cause to grow. This is what it does, doesn't it? The Word of God does all those things for us. Right? It's wonderful. Ty, turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll tie this in. It says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for Thy word hath quickened me, right? Again, quicken there in the Hebrew means to live, have life, sustain life, be quickened, be alive, be restored to life, to quicken, revive, refresh, to cause to grow. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, with that verse in mind, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, too, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And you, now Paul's writing to believers. He's writing to the Ephesians believers. And you hath He quickened. We know that's born again. Right? You're regenerated. Yeah. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. And don't let anyone tell you anything else. Dead there means dead. It doesn't mean mostly dead. It means dead. Graveyard dead. No ability. No ability to give yourself life. No ability to become alive. But the Word of God, what does it do? It quickens us, doesn't it? We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Faith cometh through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you hath He quickened, were born again, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You couldn't tell one of God's lost sheep from a goat. You couldn't, but God knows. God knows. Look at verse 4. But God who is, and oh, there's a portion for us to burn into our mind, but God who is rich in mercy. Oh, God's so rich in mercy, beloved. For His great love, and that's an everlasting, eternal love that God has for His people. And it's a great love. It's a great love, beloved. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. He's loved His people with an everlasting love that spans back from all the way back to eternity past, all the way to eternity future. Oh, what a great love God has for His people. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now note here, it says, even when we were dead, and dead again means dead in sins, hath quickened us, born again together with Christ. And look at this, it says, by grace ye are saved, right? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So God's people are monuments, trophies of the grace of God for eternity. For eternity. And then look at this. I always like to say, in case you didn't get it in verse 5, He repeats it again. Look at this. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And look at this. And that not of yourselves. That means not your works, not something you think, not something you do. That means not of us. What did the psalmist say? You caused me to hope. You've caused me to hope. I didn't cause myself to hope. Right? And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. And that means, now works too. Works means anything you can think or anything you can do. That's what works means there. You look up the definition of works in the English dictionary, it's things you not just do physically, it's things you think you can do too. Not of works, lest any man should boast, because man likes to boast. It's in us, we like to boast. But look at this, for we are his workmanship. He's the Alpha and the Omega of our salvation. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what a truth is brought forth here. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, we who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, can see here how faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And this word before us, this word that brings comfort to the psalmist, is life-giving word, beloved. It's a life-giving word. It's a life-giving word. It's a word of refreshing. It's a word which brings comfort and joy through affliction. Let's go back to our text in Psalm 119, verse 50. Again, it's a word which brings joy and comfort and affliction for the believer who's born again by the Holy Spirit of God. As the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture, and He must illuminate it, right? Or we'll never know. We're just words on paper for us. I remember before the Lord saved me and I read the Bible, it was just words on paper. There was nothing there for me. But after the Lord saved me, oh my, I'm seeing things I didn't see before. As the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures and teaches us and causes us to grow and brings us comfort through affliction. As the Word is applied to our hearts in times of need. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Look at verse 50 again. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me. The Word of God comforts amidst affliction during the pilgrimage through this world. And we are comforted with the promises of God in the Holy Scripture, in and through Christ alone. Now afflictions come to saved and unsaved, to great men and to lesser, known men, to educated and uneducated. Everyone goes through afflictions. Everyone. Everyone. And they can be health-related, they can be financially related, they can be afflictions in the mind, they can be afflictions in the heart, but we all go through them, don't we? We all go through them. But here we have a saint of God proclaiming that during his afflictions, the Word of God is his comfort. Have you ever wondered, how did I make it before the Lord saved me? You ever wonder that? We were talking about that this morning. Well, how do we? The Lord keeps us even before we're saved. It's wonderful. But you think about it. How did I even live without Christ? Because now he's everything to me. He's my hope and my comfort. Oh, the Lord is so good. He's so gracious to his people. So gracious to his people. So these afflictions come to saved and unsaved. But I ask you, again, who are redeemed? Is this not where you find comfort too during your afflictions? In this word right here. In this word. Oh, this is where we find comfort. And note here in our text, the believer's afflictions are balanced with comfort from God's word. They're balanced with comfort from God's word. Notice the psalmist says, my afflictions. Your afflictions are not my afflictions. Right? Although we go through like similar things, but your afflictions aren't mine, and mine aren't yours. So the psalmist is right personally. This is my comfort in my affliction. My affliction. Again, we share some afflictions, but these are, the psalmist says, these are my afflictions. He's experiencing them. Just as you and I experience our own afflictions. And then he says, this is my comfort. What's your comfort? This is my comfort during my afflictions. The Word of God. The Word of God. And this was David's case. Is it so with you? And note here, each tried child of God can say, this is my comfort, thy word is my comfort. In these pages of this wonderful book, I read about my Savior in the Old Testament. I see Him in type, in shadows, and I'm comforted at how God cares for Israel all through the Old Testament, knowing that that is a picture of how He cares for His church and watches over us and preserves us and keeps us. And it brings me comfort. Does it bring you comfort? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. In Genesis, I see Adam and Eve clothed with skins of a lamb, and know this pictures my being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. In Exodus, I see the blood on the lentils. And I see how the death angel passes by when he sees the blood. And I'm reminded that when God sees the blood of Christ on me, He passes over my sin. Because I'm under the blood of Christ. And this brings me great comfort. Is it so with you? In Leviticus, when I read about the great day of atonement and see Christ in type and picture as the priest and the offering and the sacrifice itself, and I see Him in the scapegoat bearing away all my sins, and so that God remembers my sin no more. And I see the fit man and know that's Christ. And know that Christ is the only fit man, the sinless one, and that He's taken away all my sins, and this brings me great comfort. Is it so with you? Amidst trials and afflictions and troubles, book by book, we can pull out examples of how God sustains His people and cares for them all through the New Testament and through the Old Testament. We see the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed, the gospel of the finished work of Christ and what He has accomplished. This brings such comfort to my soul. Is it so with you? Such hope. Such hope. Such joy, such comfort that no matter what we're experiencing at the time, we look to Him. And this is my comfort, the Word of God. Is it so with you? And think how different this is from the people of the world. Worldly men and women find their comfort in other things, things which they prefer. But the believer looks to his experience of the Word and says, this is my comfort. Time and time and time again, the Lord Jesus Christ is my comfort. And this Word tells me all about Him. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. There be many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine is increased. The believer has more joy than the richest man in the world. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. How many times through a trial and an affliction are you able to pillow your head at night and have a sound sleep? Oh my. Knowing that if I worry about this, it ain't going to change anything. Is it? My hope is in the One who keeps all things, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Let's go back to our text. This is my comfort in my affliction, for Thy Word hath quickened me. Now note, this comfort for the believer comes from the Word of God. Our text continues, Thy Word hath quickened me. The Word here comforts and quickens the believer. It is the Word of God, and it is full of promises and is for our comfort. In Romans chapter 15, the Scriptures proclaim this, We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So we learn from this word. We learn from this word. For our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That through afflictions and trials that we might have hope. And we glean hope, don't we? Our hope grows in Christ as we read about our wonderful Savior through His Word. It grows. It grows. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 77. The Word of God is comforting for the believer. It's full of records of His goodness. Do you know that? The Scriptures are full of records of His goodness to His people. It's full of records. It testifies of His goodness to His people. His goodness in His works of providence. The Word of God testifies of these things. In His goodness in His works of redemption. It reports on these things, doesn't it? Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report?" Oh my, look at Psalm 77, verses 5 to 14. "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Verse 7. "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? In his mercy, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah." And I said, "This is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." How do we meditate on all his works? By reading in the Scriptures the wondrous works that he's done. That he's done. "And talk of thy doings." We proclaim, look what our God has done. He's amazing. He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's all powerful. And he's redeemed me from my sins. Oh my. "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Who? No one. All other gods are false gods. But our God is the one true living God. "Thou art the God that doest wonders." Oh, and God's people can testify just in our own salvation. He does wonders. He saved a sinner like me. Donnie Bell and I were talking the other day, and Donnie, we were talking about someone and praying for them that the Lord would save them, and Donnie said, "Well, the Lord saved us, brother. He can save anyone." Yeah, amen. That's right. He's done wondrous things. He saved me. He saved my soul. Oh, my. "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." And he has declared his strength. Right? He's able to save. He's able to save. We can't save ourselves, but he is able to save, beloved. Oh my, and we testify. We testify, and we've seen in his word, and it's been our experience in our lives as we contemplate the wonders of redemption in Christ Jesus through the word. And we contemplate the wonders of how God delivers his people time and time and time again from afflictions and trials and situations. And he's always done this for his people. He's always done this. The word of God is full of power. It strengthens us during all situations in life. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, "Where the word of the king is, there is power." Well, this is the word of the king, beloved. This is the word of the king of the universe. And there's power in the word. There's power in the word. It is the word of the king. "And who may say unto him, what doest thou?" Who can say to God, "What are you doing?" No one. What power is in the Word of God? It's the Word of the King. And we in this wondrous Word see how David has been delivered from death and how he has been kept from falling. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 116. And we see ourselves in David, beloved. We see ourselves in David. Psalm 116, verses 1 to 9. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And this is the cry of the believer. I'll call upon him as long as I live, as long as I have breath. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell got hold me upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Oh, return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Oh, and he's dealt bountifully with us in Christ, beloved. He has. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Oh, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. When we read the word of God, we are drawn away again from the things of this world, from the cares of this world, and from the troubles of this world. And it brings us great comfort to see Christ. And it brings us great comfort to our soul in all situations, beloved. And may we who are the redeemed of the Lord adore God's distinguishing grace. If you have felt the power and authority of this word upon your conscience, if you can say as David, thy word hath quickened me, then praise God, because he's made his word effectual to you. He's made his word effectual. And oh, the free grace of God that he should send out his word and heal thee. That he should heal thee and not others. That same scripture which to some is a dead letter is a savor of life unto thee. This is the grace of God. This is the distinguishing grace of God in Christ. And through the word of God we see the almighty power of God as we read of his wondrous works. And this will give the believer great comfort during particular trials that we go through in our lives. And we are comforted by the word of God. It gives us strength to continue in hope. It gives us hope, doesn't it? In the midst of all the trials that we face, it gives us hope. It gives us hope. And the Bible is one commentator said, the Bible has a song for all seasons and a psalm for all places. I love reading the Psalms of David. I see myself so many times through the Psalms. All the Psalms, not just David's Psalms, but the whole book of Psalms. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So what's your comfort? What's your comfort? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll see a very clear picture presented of how the Word of God is a comfort to God's people. The Babylonian captivity is predicted in the preceding chapter, in verse 39, and here in chapter 40, we have brought before us the comfort for God's people as a deliverance is promised. It's expressed in such terms in the clearest and strongest manner to set forth the redemption and salvation which is only in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. And what a picture we have before us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. How then are God's people comforted? Well, let's read this portion and let's look at the fact that we are forgiven by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in verse 2, which speaks of the elect of God being pardoned in Christ. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. It's accomplished. That her iniquity is what? Pardoned. Oh, does that bring comfort to the believer's soul? Her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And we that believe are comforted by the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. The way to God is made known. The hindrances are eliminated. And the way is made very plain. Look at verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. God's people are comforted by his word, in that the glory of God is manifest by the preaching and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Look at verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And it's revealed in Christ, beloved. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And then look at verses 10 and 11. We are comforted by God's word, which tells us of the fact that our God reigns and that He alone is in complete and utter control. Actually, let's read from 10 to 18. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hands, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Christ came here on a mission. His work was before Him. He must redeem His people from their sins. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather His lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. We are carried in the everlasting arms of God, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Now here we're seeing the greatness of our God proclaimed, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? God needs no counselors, beloved. And remember how much comfort this can bring us. This is our God. This is our Savior. With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the paths of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Now think of all the nations in this world. They're like a drop of a bucket to our God. And yet He became a man to redeem His people from their sins. And are counted as small of the dust in the balance. That's when you've got a scale and there's just a little bit of dust on it, but not enough dust that it would make the scales weigh more. It's just the dust of the balance. Like, that's what that means. So all the nations of the world are just counted like the dust of a balance to the Lord. Just like the dust of the balance. Oh my. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? There's no one like Him. That's the answer, isn't it? There is no one like Him. There is no one. Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? Oh, beloved. Who is like unto our God? We find comfort in the Word of God amidst afflictions, knowing that our God is God, and that He is solitary in His glory, and He is solitary in His might and in His power. He never has, and He never will have anyone challenge Him. He is the God of the universe. He will never abdicate His throne. He is supreme and almighty. And what a comfort is found in verses 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding? So remember this, in the midst of our afflictions, in our trials, He never faints. He's always there. He's ever watching us. He giveth power to the faint. He's the one who strengthens us. When we're going through a trial or a tribulation, He gives us strength. He gives us power. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases in strength. In our weakness, He is strong. Right? It's wonderful. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Oh, what comfort. What comfort is here before us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. This is the responsibility of every true called man of God. And I pray that God has comforted His people today through the preaching of His word. And that we can leave here with David and say, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the time that we've had together. We thank Thee for Thy Word. We who are Your people, redeemed, born again of the Holy Spirit of God, we thank Thee that You have given us an understanding and given us ears to hear and eyes to see Thee. And oh, what comfort we can glean in Thy Holy Scriptures. Oh, as we read Isaiah 40 there and see the marvelous works of Thy redemption, the marvelous things that You have done, and as we read in our text, and that we find comfort in Thy Word, and that it's You that have caused us to hope, You who have made us to differ, and we glorify Thee, and we praise Thy mighty name for Thy work, Thy works in providence, and Thy works in salvation and redemption, and for Thy great works. Oh, Lord, we thank Thee. We praise Thee. We pray You'd be glorified and magnified, and that You'd use the message for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.